Good morning. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf. We are learning all about the details of Hotza'ah, taking from a private domain to the public domain, from then Hachnasa, taking from the public domain into the private domain, and Ma'avir Dalet Amos Pirshus Harabim, transporting an item 4 cubits, that is 6 feet, in a public domain. We know that forever, for the malacha of Hotza'ah, Hachnasa, or Ma'avir Dalet Amos to be transgressed, to be violated, there are three important elements. There has to be an akira, an uprooting of the object which is at rest on a prominent space, on a space that's 4x4, has to be uprooted, lifted up. There has to be a transfer, havaras rishus, and then there has to be a hanacha, putting down onto a prominent space. So we learned yesterday, at the very top of Kufamut Aleph, where the Gemara said that water on top of water is considered at rest. A walnut floating on water is not considered at rest. A walnut in a utensil floating on the water. Now we have a question. Do we look at the walnut and we say it's at rest? Or do we say we look at the utensil and it's not at rest? So the Gemara said, take we don't know. So now the Gemara talks about other liquids on top of each other. Are they considered to be at rest or not? Says the Gemara in Kufamut Aleph, Shemen al gabe yayin. If you have oil on top of wine, let's say in a pool, so is that oil at rest in the private domain in the pool, or is it not at rest? Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan. Here you have the argument between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan in regards to impurity. It's not because we went in a Mishnah, Shemen shetzaf al gabe yayin. If you have oil floating on top of wine, so the two things don't really mix. So now, nagat ful yom b'shemen, someone who is impure, waiting for the sun to set to become pure, if he touched the oil, so the halacha is, we have an argument. According to the Tanakhama, lo pasal el shemen, we don't say that he's made the wine impure, that he's disqualified the wine, because we say, no, the oil is something separate from the wine. So he made the oil impure. He's disqualified the oil. If the oil was truma, he's ruined that, but not the wine. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, if you have oil floating on top of wine, shneim chibur zelazeh, they're considered attached to each other. And through touching the oil, he has made the wine also disqualified. So if you consider oil on top of wine to be one big liquid, now it's understandable why, if you touch the oil, the wine is also disqualified. And if you consider it one big liquid, then you would also say that the oil is at rest. Just like water on top of water, the water is considered at rest. Okay, going back to discussions that we had yesterday, what happens when the hanacha occurs simultaneously with impacting the rishus, with impacting the domain that you put it into? We saw that Rabbi Yochanan had a question. If you pick up, if you have a pit in the public domain, which is 10 tvachim deep and 4x4 tvachim wide, so that pit is itself a private domain. If you take dirt from the public domain and throw it into the pit, and the dirt is going to make the pit no longer 10 tvachim deep, now you have a question. Is that considered putting dirt into the private domain? And it's chayiv, you have to bring a carbon for a biblical sin. Or do we say that that dirt, because when it went in, when it was landing, it was also reducing the depth of the pit from 10 tvachim to 9 tvachim. So now it's not a private domain anymore. And therefore, he maybe moved the dirt from a public domain to Carmelis, but he didn't move the dirt from a public domain into a private domain. So now Amar Abaye, Abaye says, on that discussion that we had yesterday from Rabbi Yochanan, now we have Abaye weighing in. Abaye says like this, Bor Bishus HaRabim, let's say you have a pit in a public domain, and this pit is Amuka Asara, is 10 tvachim deep, or Rechava Shmona, and 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim wide. So if the pit is 10 tvachim deep, that means it has walls of 10 tvachim. And if it's 4x4, so it's a private domain, because all you need is 4x4 for it to be a private domain. Here you have 8x8. Right here you have 8, Rechava Shmona, it's 8 wide. But what did he do? Zarak l'tocha machatzelas. He throws into it a reed mat. So if the reed mat falls on its face, then chayiv, he's obligated because he took the reed mat from the public domain and threw it into the private domain. But chilka b'machatzelas, if the way he threw the reed mat in, it landed upright, it landed like a wall to separate the space of the private domain. So now, Pater Abaye says, since the landing of the mat made the area no longer a private domain because the mat takes up some space. So now the area is not going to be 8 wide. It's going to be on one side a little bit less than 4 wide, and on the other side of the mat also a little bit less than 4 wide. So the landing of the mat took away the rishus, took away the domain of a private domain, and therefore it's not a biblical sin. Says the Gemara, that really is very interesting in light of what we learned yesterday. So according to Abai, who says, when you throw in a reed mat and it lands upright, that can take away the status of walls and can ruin the status of private domain. Certainly he would agree, if you took dirt from the public domain and threw it into the pit, since you're planning to leave the dirt there permanently, you're mevatel the dirt. So since you're planning to leave the dirt there permanently, that dirt would take away the depth of the pit, and it would ruin the status of walls. However, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he wasn't even sure if you take dirt from the street and you throw dirt into a pit, if that takes away the status of private domain from the pit. So now, machatzelas, when you just throw a reed mat in, and maybe you're not going to leave it there, shita certainly, it's not going to ruin the status of private domain, and therefore he would hold that if you threw a reed mat, even though the reed mat landed upright and it divided the space and made the space within to less than a space of four tfachim, nevertheless, he would hold that you're chayiv for placing an item into a private domain. Next, Amar Abaye said another idea. Let's say you have a pit in the public domain, and Amuka Asara, it is 10 tfachim deep. So if it's 10 tfachim deep, that means it has walls of 10 tfachim. Or a chava arba, and it's 4 tfachim wide. So it has enough space. So that is a private domain. And it's malaya mayim, it's filled with water. So we're talking about here annulling walls. If you put in dirt, Rabbi Yochanan's not sure if that annuls the wall. If you put in a mechitzta, you put in a machatzelas, you put in a reed mat, according to Abaye, that annuls the walls. What about water? You fill the whole pit is filled with water. Is water considered like dirt, and it's as if you don't have the walls anymore, or not? So says Abaye, the water doesn't annul the walls. The Zarak Letocha, if you now throw something from the public domain into this pit and it lands on the water, Chayiv, that's considered carrying from the public domain into the private domain. But if you fill up the pit with peiros, Malaya peiros, you fill up the pit with grain, Vizarak Letocha, now you throw and it lands on all this grain, now Pater, now it is exempt because the grain fills up the pit and now you don't have walls anymore. It's not a private domain anymore. My time, what's the reason? Mayim lo mevatli mechitzta. Water is not considered to take, not considered to fill up the space. It's still considered a private domain. But peiros, when you put in grain, that is mevatli mechitzta. That has annulled the walls, and therefore it is something, it's as if the walls are gone, and therefore it's not a private domain anymore. And the commentators explain that because we're talking about a case where the grain has filled up the entirety of the space of the pit, that's why the grain annuls the walls, and therefore it's no longer considered a private domain. Tanam Yahu also learned in a brisa this way, Hazorik minayam li'isratyan, does not annul walls. We learned in a brisa, Hazorik minayam li'isratyan, if somebody throws an item from the ocean onto a major intercity thoroughfare. Sratya is an intercity thoroughfare, it's a public domain. The ocean has a status of karmelis. There are really four types of domains. There's public domain, then there's private domain. Private domain is an area delineated with walls that are at least 10 tfachim tall or deep, and the area itself is 4x4, 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. Then you have the areas of makom ptur and the area of karmelis. Makom ptur is an area, let's say, higher than 10 tfachim in the public domain. So once it's higher than 10 tfachim, it's out of the public domain. And if it's not 4x4, it itself is not a private domain, it's makom ptur, it's a place of exemption. Karmelis is an area that doesn't fit into the laws of public domain or private domain. Let's say it's an ocean. An ocean, in theory, should be public domain because it's very, very big, very open, doesn't really have many walls. And on the other hand, though, people can't really walk there. It's a place of the water. So that's called a karmelis. A karmelis, rabbinically, you can't transport things there for amos. You also can't take from the public domain to the karmelis. You also can't take from the karmelis to the private domain. So here we have Hazorik ben Hayam l'Esratya. If somebody throws something from the ocean to the ocean being a Carmelis to the major intercity thoroughfare, which is a public domain, or min Esrat l'Yam, or he throws from the public domain to the ocean. In both cases, Potter, it is a rabbinic prohibition, not a biblical prohibition. Rabbi Shimon says, Im yesh b'makom shazarak amok asarav rachav arba. If a person is standing on the thoroughfare and he throws from the thoroughfare into the ocean, and where did it land in the ocean? It landed on a spot that's over an indentation in the ocean, and that indentation is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. So that already what he threw has landed in a private domain, and therefore chayiv. Now he's going to have a biblical sin of carrying from the public domain into the private domain. So you'll say to Rabbi Shimon, why did you say that he carried from the public domain to the private domain? He threw from the thoroughfare, from the big highway, into the ocean. But the ocean, whatever holes are in the ocean, and they have walls because they go down deep, but those walls are all gone because they're filled with water. So again, you see a proof to the idea that we just said in the name of Abaye, that water does not annul walls. Water does not take away the status of walls. And that's where you're seeing in Rabbi Shimon, you can have a private domain inside of the ocean if you have an indentation which is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. Even if it's filled with water, it's still going to be considered a private domain because the water doesn't annul it. And now once you have a private domain, the private domain continues going all the way up till the highest heavens. So whatever fell over this indentation is considered to have been placed in the private domain, and that would be a malacha of carrying in from the street, from the public domain, into the private domain. So now we're going to talk about throwing it. We talked about throwing items from private domain to public domain, from public domain to private domain, from private domain to private domain, through public domain, from public domain to public domain, through private domain. Now we're going to talk about throwing an item within a public domain, 4 amos, 6 feet. Says the Mishnah, we learned this several times already, Azorek, 4 amos, somebody throws an item, 4 amos in the public domain, bakosel. And now the item landed on a wall. So if lamala me'asara, if it landed higher than 10 tefachim, that's kezorek ba'avir. That's like throwing something and it lands in the airspace above 10 tefachim. It's like throwing something up on a higher spot. And then already it's not considered to have gone into the now it's in a new domain. But if it's lamata me'asara, if it was beneath 10 tefachim, so now it's kezorek ba'aretz. That's like throwing something on the ground, and that's certainly transporting something for amos in the public domain. Zorek ba'aretz, if somebody throws something in the ground, 4 amos, 4 amos, so then chayev. So then he's chayev. So if he's in the public domain and he throws something 4 amos in the public domain, certainly he is chayev. Asks the Gemara, the first case, when he throws something and it lands on a wall, and if it's higher than 10 tefachim, we say he's exempt because he just put it into the makom ptur, into a place of exemption. I don't understand. Valo nach, but the item has not come to a rest. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explained, but ve'la shmeina shanina, we're talking about a sticky fig when the item is at rest on the wall. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav, I'm a Rav Chia. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, in the name of Rav Chia, Zarak lamala me'asara. Let's say a person throws something onto a wall. So in a public domain, he lifted it up. He lifted an item that was on the floor of the public domain. He threw it. It landed on a wall in the public domain, and it landed above 10 tefachim. But it didn't land on the wall. It landed in a hole in the wall. So now, this hole is not 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. But this takes us to another issue, and that is that there are ideas, there are tanaim who hold that when you have something, when you have a wall, when you have stones, halacha imagines as if those stones are cut out. And that's what we have in regards to the laws of a mezuzah. So a mezuzah, you have to put on a mezuzah onto a doorway. If the doorway is 10 tefachim of height, and it is 4 tfachim of width. What do you do with a sloped doorway? So on the bottom of that doorway, it's 4 tfachim wide, but as it gets higher, the arch narrows, and as it gets higher, it doesn't have the 4 tfachim of width. So what's the law? Does that type of a doorway need a mezuzah? So that's an argument between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So I'm Rav Yehuda, Marav, I'm Rav Chia. Rav Yehuda is the name of Rav. The name of Rav Chia, Zarak Lamala Me'asara, if a person throws an item above 10 tfachim, he throws an item for Amos in the public domain and it lands on the wall above 10 tfachim, but it didn't land on the face of the wall. Rather, it landed V'halcha V'nacha B'chor Kolshu. It landed in a little hole. Rabbi Meir v'Rabbanan. So now we have the same argument that we had in regards to mezuzah between Rabbi Meir and the sages. Rabbi Meir to Amar Chokin Lahashlin, according to Rabbi Meir, who says when you have a doorway which isn't wide enough, we in halacha imagine as if it's been cut out to become wide enough, and therefore it is obligated to mezuzah. So Machayev here too, we imagine that this hole was widened to be big enough to get the item on it, and you are obligated. In regards to a mezuzah, we don't say that we imagine that parts are cut out to be wide enough. Then lo machayev, then a person's not obligated to bring a sin offering. This way, zarek lamala me'asara, somebody throws an item higher than 10 tfachim, and it lands in a small hole, which is above 10 tfachim. So now, can we imagine this hole to be considered 4 tfachim? That's the question. Rabbi Meir Machayev. Rabbi Meir says, yes, we imagine the hole to be 4 tfachim, because Rabbi Meir says, we will carve out to get to the right amount. Or halacha imagines as if it was carved out to get to the right amount. The chachamim potrim, whereas the chachamim exempt. All right, now a new law, very, very important law. We've seen before that if you have a public domain and you have a pillar in the public domain, which is 10 tfachim tall and 4 by 4 tfachim on its top, that pillar is considered a private domain. We also saw in yesterday's daf, if you have a boulder in the public domain, which is 10 tfachim tall and on its top 4 by 4, it's also considered a private domain. So now what about a mountain? So if the mountain is a very steep cliff, that certainly would be considered a wall. It would be like the boulder. What happens if there's an incline on the mountain? How sharp of an incline do we need to consider that incline to be a wall? So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Tela mislaki. Let's say you have a platform, a plateau, or you have a hill, and you can start adding height. And you get to the height of Asara, you get to the height of Ten Tfachim, Mitoch Arba, once you walked 4 Amos. Now, 4 Amos is 24 Tfachim, because each Amos is 6 Tfachim. So once you walk 24 Tfachim, you took 24 Tfachim of steps, you've now arrived at Ten Tfachim of height. So in such a case, Zarak, if you threw that amount of an incline, a 25% incline, that's enough for it to be considered a wall. Zarak, if you threw an item, v'nachal gabav, and it lands on top of that hill, chayiv, that's considered throwing the item from the public domain to the private domain. Because that's already considered walls, and that's already considered a private domain. Tanya Menachos London writes this way, that an incline of 25 degrees is already enough to be considered a wall. And we learned this in regards to the laws of Erevin. In Erevin, we're going to learn that there's something called a mavui. A mavui is a street that has many courtyards that open into it. The street has 3 walls. The fourth side does not have a wall. The fourth side is open to the main street, to the Rishus HaRabim, to the public domain. Now, rabbinically, you're not allowed to carry from the mavui out into the public domain unless... And you cannot even carry within the mavui because of the public domain being there. The only way to carry within the mavui and to carry from courtyard to the mavui is if you do something on that fourth side to symbolically seal it. So the two things you can do is either a lechi, a vertical pole, or a korah, a horizontal beam. Now we're going to learn that an incline is considered a wall, so that also could work to seal the fourth side. Learned in a brisa that an incline can be a wall. We learned mavui sheshava letocho. Let's say you have a street and it is flat with the it's flat. The street itself is flat. The street with the 3 walls around it, the floor of it is flat. But Vinasa Midron, there's a slope from the Mavui down into the public domain. To get to the public domain, you have a slope. Oh, Shavu L'Rishas HaRabim, or maybe the entrance of the Mavui is actually just as flat as the public domain is. But Vinasa Midron L'Tocho, but within the Mavui, you have this sudden slope. So now, this Mavui does not need on its fourth side to have either a vertical beam or a horizontal beam, because the slope itself is considered a wall. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel explains, tell if you have a mountain, hamislaki, that you can, when you start adding bit by bit of height, you can get to the height of asara, of 10, mitoch arba, once you climb 24 tvachim, once you climb 4 amos, vizarak, and you threw an item from the public domain, v'nachal gabav, and it lands on top of this hilltop, chayiv, you are obligated. So here you have explicitly this law that a tel ha-mislakeit is considered a wall, and the dimensions of it are that as you progress up a slope of 24 tvachim of length, once you got to a height of 10 tvachim, within those 24 tvachim, that is considered a wall of 10 tvachim, and therefore it can set off a private domain. It also can serve to set off the mavoi to enable you to carry within the mavoi. Next Mishnah, talking about the laws of throwing an item for amos in the public domain. Zarak, a person who throws an item in the public domain, letoch arba amos, he's trying to throw it within 4 amos. But the wind picks the item up, which should have landed within the 4 amos. V'nizgalgel chutz l'arba amos. And the wind takes it to outside of the 4 amos. Patur is exempt. But if he's trying to throw it, and he does throw it chutz l'arba amos, out of the 4 amos. And then v'nizgalgel, then the wind takes it, and once it went out of the 4 amos, brought it back within the 4 amos, l'toch arba amos, now he is chayev. That's now a biblical sin of transporting an item for amos in the public domain. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand why this last case is considered transporting an item for amos in the public domain. He threw it out of the 4 amos, and then the wind brought it back. Follow nach, but never rested out of the 4 amos. So if it never rested, you don't have malacha. The malacha of carrying, whether it be hotza, hachnasa, or moving an item 4 amos in the public domain, has to have a lifting, a transfer, and then a putting down. It was never put down if he threw it out of the 4 amos and then the wind brought it back. Answer the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, I'll tell you what the case is. V'hu shenachal gabei mashu. He threw the item. It went more than 4 amos away from him within the public domain. It went down within 3 tvachim and it actually rested on something there within 3 tvachim of the floor, and then the wind brought it back. Tanyam Yochanan, you also learned in a braisa this way. Zarak, if he throws an item chutz l'arba amos, out of 4 amos, and then utchafaso aruach, and the wind pushes it back, v'ichnisato, and brought it within the 4 amos, afo pi, shechazer v'otzaaso, and then the wind takes it back out, pater is exempt, because it never rested out of the 4 amos. However, achazato haruach mashu, but if the wind held it a little bit out of the 4 amos. In other words, it went out of the 4 amos, it was within 3 tvachim of the floor, and it was resting on something. Even though the wind then brings it back, it's too late already. Chayev is already guilty for taking the item, sending the item out of 4 amos in a public domain. So Amar Rava, Rava said, same thing as what Rabbi Yochanan just said, Toch Shlosha, the Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan who did not believe in Klutok Misha Huncha, they don't believe that just because something is in a particular domain, that means it's at rest in that domain. So, but according to them, though, if the item is within 3 tvachim of the floor, then tzarech hanachal gabei mashu, once it's also resting on a little surface within 3 tvachim of the floor, it is considered to have come to rest. So Yosef Meremer v'kamer lo hashmaita. Meremer was sitting and relating over Rava's lesson. Amar lo Ravina l'Meremer. Ravina said to Meremer, now starting Kufam and Beis, lav haino masnisim. But that's exactly the way we explained our Mishnah. We explained our Mishnah that when the Mishnah says if you throw an item out of the 4 amos and then the wind brings it back in, you're already chayiv. Amar Rabbi Yochanan explained, v'hu shenachal gabei mashu, it's because you threw it out of the 4 amos, it went to within 3 tvachim, it rested on something, and then the wind brought it back. That's what Rava is saying, that even the Rabbanan who say just being in the public domain is not enough to be at rest in the public domain. But the Rabbanan would agree that if it's within 3 tvachim of the floor of the public domain and at rest on a surface, it's considered at rest, but it has to be at rest on a surface. So that's what we just said. That's how Rabbi Yochanan explained the Mishnah. Amarle, Sir Bremer said there's a difference. Misgalgal ka amarta. You know, Rava's lesson could not have been learned from how we explained our Mishnah. Misgalgal, if I throw something and the wind holds it and the wind brings it back, ain't sofala nuach. It never really came to a rest. It's been bopping around. Aval hai, but in the case of Rava, that's where an item was thrown into the public domain. It's going to come to the rest. Now, it's within three tefachim. So, came with the sofa l'nuach. Since it's going to be at a rest ultimately, I would have thought, even if right now it's not resting on anything, it's considered at rest. Kamashman, that's what Rava to tell me. No, even though it's within three tefachim and it's landing, it has to be on some type of surface to be considered at rest. And don't say that our Mishnah is different, because our Mishnah is talking about where something is in the airspace, air, and the wind is blowing it this way, blowing it that way. And there it has to be at rest. I don't know, all situations, for something to be considered at rest, it's not enough for it to be within three tefachim of the floor. It actually also has to be resting on some type of surface. Now we're going to go back to the issues of karmelis. We've learned that an ocean has the status of a karmelis. Says the Mishnah, Hazorik bayam, if a person throws an item from one part of the ocean to another part of the ocean, and it went more than four amos. So that's the sin of transporting an item more than four amos in a karmelis. And pater, the person would be exempt, because exempt meaning that there's no biblical sin, but there is a rabbinic sin, because a karmelis is a rabbinic domain. So in a rabbinic domain, there's a rabbinic sin of transporting more than four amos. All right, that was the ocean. Now let's talk about a muddy stream inside of a street, or a puddle, a big puddle inside of a street. So now the Mishnah is going to say, what is the status of a puddle? If you have in the winter a big puddle in the street, it's muddy, it's dirty, is that considered now karmelis, that part of the street? Or is that part of the street still considered public domain? Let's say you have a big muddy puddle, but people are still walking through it. So now it's still considered a public domain. If somebody throws within it four amos or more, that would be a biblical sin, and the person would have to bring a sin offering. Kamahu rekakmayim. Now, how deep can this muddy puddle be for it to still be considered a public domain? Pachos me'asara tefachim. It has to be less than 10 tefachim. But if it's more than 10 tefachim, that's already considered a separate domain. Rekakmayim. Let's say you have a muddy puddle. Urshus harabim mehaleches bo, and the public are walking through it. Hazorik betocho, if somebody throws within this muddy puddle, arba amos, four amos, still chayiv, that would be the biblical sin of transporting an item for amos within the public domain. There was a rabbi who said to Rav, hiluch trei zimni. I understand why the Mishnah is going to say twice that if people are walking through the muddy puddle, it's still considered a public domain. Hakamashlan, it's teaching us, number one, hiluch al yedei adchak shmei hiluch, that walking, even though it's an uncomfortable walking, it's not the most comfortable way of walking, but still it's the way people walk. It's still considered a place where people are walking. And the reason why I taught us this about walking twice, to say that tashmish al yedei adchak lo shmei tashmish, some other usage, it's not public, some other usage, it's not comfortable, would not be considered a usage to make something a public domain. But you could have told me this in other ways where it's uncomfortable to walk. Why talk about a mud puddle twice? So answer the Gemara, to tell you that both mud puddles are considered public domains when people are walking through them. Which two mud puddles? The mud puddle of the winter and the mud puddle of the summer. Chad b'yemos hachama, one is to talk about a mud puddle during the summer. The chad b'yemos hakshamim, and one is to talk about a mud puddle during the winter. It's Shrich, I need to tell you both. Titana chadaf would have told you only one mud puddle. If people still walk through it, it's still considered a public domain. I would have thought to say, which mud puddle would still allow it to be a public domain even though people are walking through it? That's only a mud puddle during the summer. Because people normally walk through the mud puddles in the summer. They walk through the puddles because they want to cool themselves down. But during the winter, when anyway people are cold and dirty, people are not going to be walking into the mud puddles. And since people won't be walking into the mud puddles, it wouldn't be considered a public domain. It would be considered a karmelis. Pasak Sham. And if it would only tell me that a mud puddle in a public domain that people are still walking through during the winter is considered a mud puddle, I would say to give them a tanfilol ekbslu. Since it's the winter and they're dirty anyway, they don't care. That's why they walk into the mud puddles. Avubi Mosacham, but during the summer, Emalar would think that they don't walk through the puddles. That's why I have to tell you twice the law that a puddle that people walk through is still considered a public domain, to teach me that both a puddle of the winter and a puddle of the summer are considered public domains. Abai Amar Abai said, Itzrich, I have to tell you this, because Salkadai the Chamin of what to say, Hani Mili, Hechad Lohavi, Arba Amos. This is only true when you don't have four Amos. Right? I would have thought, Abai is giving another answer. Why do we have to tell me twice the law that if people are walking through the mud puddle, it's still considered public domain? Because it's talking about two different types of mud puddles. Both a mud puddle, which is four amos wide, and a mud puddle that is less than four amos wide. So if I would have only told you one, I would have thought, Hani Mili, if I don't tell you one time that if people walk through the mud puddle, it's considered a public domain, I would say, which type of mud puddle? A mud puddle that's not four amos wide? And I'd say, Hechad lo havi arba amos, if it's not so wide, that's when it's considered part of the public domain. Aval hechad havi arba amos, but if it's going to be a very large mud puddle, which is four amos wide, then even though people walk through it, I would still say, since most people are going to walk around it, because they don't want to walk through so much water, it's not considered part of the public domain. Akufi mafiluhu, most people walk around it, and it therefore would be considered a karmelus. That's why I have to say twice that the mud puddle is still considered a public domain, to say that both a small mud puddle and even a much bigger mud puddle, they're both a public domain, because since some people still walk through it, it's still considered the street. Rav Ashi said, it's true. I'll tell you why we have to say twice this law, that people who walk through the mud puddle are causing that area to still be a public domain and it's not a karmelis. Kasalkad Adachamina would have thought to say, Hani Mili Hechad Ahava Arba. Maybe that only applies when the mud puddle is only four tvachim wide. If it's only four tvachim wide, if it's at least four tvachim wide, people are not going to be able to jump over it. So then they walk through it. But if it's not even four tvachim, if it's smaller than four tvachim, it's smaller than 12 inches, then it would take mifsipsile. People jump over it. And since people jump over it, it's no longer considered the public domain. It's considered karmelis. That's why I have to tell you that even this type of a puddle is also considered public domain. Rav Ashi is being consistent. Rav Ashi used to say, "Haiman de zark v'nacha guda de gamla." A person who throws an object and it lands on one of the beams of the bridge. This beam is a little bit far from the other beams. Mechayev, person is obligated, and that is a biblical sin of going from a public domain to the private domain. Either people who jump over the beam, but Shari Rabin Bokenbo, even though there's some people who jump over this step, nevertheless, many people walk through it. And since people walk through it, it's still considered the public domain. So if you threw from the house onto the bridge, it would still be considered throwing from the private domain to the public domain, even though where it landed on the beam, that might be an area that a lot of people just skip over that beam. Nevertheless, since people are walking through it, and not everybody skips over, it is considered the public domain. And the same is true here. Rav Ashi is saying, when you have a puddle in the street, even if it's a small puddle, and most people just jump over a small puddle, nevertheless, since people are walking through it, it is still considered the public domain, and something that lands in that puddle is considered to have landed in the public domain, and not that it landed in a karmelis. All right, next Mishnah. Talking again about the ocean. Hazorik ben hayam liyabasha. If somebody throws from the ocean to dry land, he's throwing from the ocean, a karmelis, to the dry land, to a public domain, or he's throwing from the highway to the ocean, from the public domain to the karmelis. He throws from the karmelis, from the ocean, to a boat, which is a prushus hayachid, a private domain. Or he throws from the boat, the private domain, to the ocean. He throws from one private domain to another private domain. In all these cases, pater, that is exempt. In other words, it's not a biblical sin, but it is a rabbinic sin. If the two boats are tied to each other, then you can actually carry from one to the next, because that's almost considered one big domain. But even though they're not tied to each other, even though they're next to each other, you can't carry from one to the other, because it's pretty often that they're going to drift away from each other, and then it's going to be carrying from private domain to private domain with a karmelis in between, which you shouldn't do rabbinically. Itmar, we learned Sfina. Let's say you have a boat. You got on the boat on Wednesday. You're out at sea. And you want to get water from the ocean to be able to use the water to wash your hands or things like that. So Rav Huna said to take water from the ocean and bring it into the boat, right? You're taking from a karmelis, as we learned in our Mishnah, into Rishus HaYachid, into a private domain, which is a rabbinic prohibition. So what do? So Rav Huna Ramotzi in Emena Ziz Kosher, you just put out a little stick. And because you put out this stick, that's sort of like the korah on the front of a mavui. And now Mamali, now you can fill water from the ocean into the boat. However, Rav Chizkiya Rabbi Rav Huna, I mean, that's not enough. But rather, Osem Makom Arba, you have to make a little box that is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, umamale, and then you can take water from the ocean into that box. So Rav Huna Amar Motzi Amen Aziz Kol Shum Umamale. Rav Huna says, all you need to do is put out a little stick, and then you can draw water. Because Kasavar, he holds Karmelis, Me'ara Mashchinan. When we say that the ocean is a karmelis, we go to the ocean floor, and we measure 10 tefachim from the ocean floor up. Avira, now that which is above that 10 tefachim is airspace, which is like the airspace above the 10 tefachim of a public domain. And therefore, it's makom ptur. It's a place of complete exemption. You can carry from the private domain to the makom ptur. You can carry from the makom ptur to the private domain. And therefore, b'dinhu, therefore, logically, is nami loliba. You really don't even need the ledge. You don't even need the stick hanging out of the boat. But these rabbis said to do it so that, you know, it should be at least a little bit of remembering so that people are reminded not to carry from a karmelis into a private domain. However, if Chizkiya Rabbi Rav Huna Amri, they say, no, you can't just have a stick. You have to make a little box of 4 tefachim, and then within that box to be drawing, because they hold karmelis, the ocean being a karmelis, is misfas maya mashchinan. We start measuring it from the edge of the water. Therefore, maya, all the water, ara smichtas, all like one big thick dirt. So therefore, ilo avid makom arba, if you don't make a space of 4 tefachim surrounded by walls to make a little private domain, it's kametzaltel. You're literally carrying from karmelis, l'rishus hayachid, to a private domain. According to Rav Huna, who says that to get water from the ocean into the boat, all you need to do is put a little stick out of the boat, and then you can draw from the ocean. I don't understand. As the boat gets closer to dry land, the level of water is going to be less than 10 tefachim. Then everybody would agree that he's transporting from the karmelis to the private domain. He answered him, we have a tradition. The boat's not able to travel when the amount of water that it's on is less than 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, but the boat has a narrow tip, and the narrow tip of the boat is going to extend further, and it might get to an area where beneath it is less than 10 tefachim of water. Rav Safra said, no, Geshushi Azli Kame, you have on that narrow tip of the boat, you have the scouts. The scouts are standing with the big poles, and they're putting the poles into the ocean to measure, to make sure that the water is not too shallow, so that the boat doesn't run aground. According to Rav Chizkiya and Rav Barav Huna, who say that to get water out of the ocean to the boat, he has to make a frame of 4 walls, hang it over the water, and draw from the water. So Shofchin did who? Hey Chashadilahu. How's he going to get all the waste out of the boat? If he takes the waste, like urine and other things, and garbage, and he throws it from the boat into the sea, so he's going from a private domain into a karmelis. If you're going to say, well, he takes the various waste, the toilet stuff, and he pours it through that box. 1 second, then we isolate. Then that spot becomes disgusting to him. He's not going to want to take water from it. And so the Gemara, the shadalu adaft in the svina, he pours it on the wall of the boat, and then from the wall it rolls down to the ocean. Still asks the Gemara, Ika Kocho, it's still his force that's causing the water, causing the urine to get down to the ocean. So it should be considered moving an item from a private domain, the boat, to the karmelis. Yeah, through his koch, through his strength, it should not be allowed. And it's the Gemara, Kocho b'karmelis lo gazu. It's not a direct movement, it's an indirect movement, it's only through his force. And his force, they never made that prohibition when dealing with the rabbinic law of transferring an item from a private domain to the Carmel. So we know Temran. How do I know to tell you this idea, this principle, that the rabbis never created a prohibition of moving items indirectly, but through your koach, through your force, from the private domain to the Carmelist? The time limit in a brisa, Sfina, when you have a boat, which is a private domain, you can't carry from the boat to the ocean, because the ocean's Carmelist. You can't carry from the ocean to the boat, because you can't carry from the Carmelist to the private domain. Rabbi Yudom, Rabbi Yudom says like this, Amuka Sara, if the boat is itself 10 tvachim deep, in other words, the boat, when you're standing inside the boat, the walls of the boat are 10 tvachim. But in Gvo Asar, but the boat walls themselves are not 10 tvachim above the ocean, because they're submerged in the ocean. Then, you can carry things out from the boat to the sea. You can't carry things from the sea into the boat. So the Marinel says, let's understand Rabbi Yehuda. Why can't you carry from the boat to the sea? Reason why? To come mitzalt mikarmelis through shesayachin. Because why can you take from the sea to the boat? Because that would be taking from the karmelis to the private domain. So then, if that's the case, mitoch liyam nami, even from it out to the sea should be prohibited. Come mitzalt mishesayach le karmelis, you're carrying from the private domain out into karmelis. Elav, so what's the case? Must be dealing with this case. He's throwing out the wastewater. And achuda, he's doing it by dumping the water on the side of the boat, throwing it on the slope of the boat, and then it dribbles down along the wall into the sea. And Shmamina, and you see exactly the idea that we said here, Kocho Bekarmus Lo Gazu, even though it's from his strength that this item is getting into the sea, since the boat is a private domain and the sea is a Carmelis, and to go from private domain to Carmelis is only a rabbinic law, since it's being done through Kochel, through his own strength, the rabbis did not make this decree. It's not a direct act, it's indirect. Shmamina, that's in fact the proof. Ad Kan Taf Kuf.